What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Monday, September 9th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Monday, everybody. And it was a good weekend, I hope, out there for everybody. Got a chance to just watch football on Sunday, knowing the Eagles had already won on Friday. I am back in the States, landed Sunday morning, so it was very nice to get back, and I'm sure you all enjoyed it as well, just having the day of watching football, watching Red Zone, all that good stuff. So hope everybody had a really good weekend. So much to get into today. I want to get into a rewatch of the game. I finally got a chance to rewatch the whole thing. Tons of thoughts off of that, tons of new thoughts off of rewatching it. And then also, let's look around the league. Good weekend for the Eagles when it comes to what they needed to happen, and you know, seeing what happened around the league. I thought it was a good weekend for the Eagles. I thought they probably came out of the weekend looking at as one of the better teams in the NFL. When you look about how the other teams played to compare to how they looked against the Packers. But before we get into all that, let's start as we always do. Let's talk about what is on the schedule for today. So today, Monday, we will talk to Nick Sirianni at one point. Not sure the exact timing yet, but we will hear from Nick. It'll be, you know, what is traditionally his post day after press conference, obviously with Brazil, and then, you know, a lot of the beat writers traveling back on Sunday. We haven't heard from Nick yet since his first press conference after the game. Wow, sorry, tripping up my words there. But yeah, so we'll hear from Nick. We'll be curious to see what he thinks about the game after getting a chance to rewatch it himself, after all those good things. So yeah, Nick Sirianni press conference today. The Eagles are not going to be back at practice, I wouldn't think, until Thursday. Remember, they don't play until Monday, so they'll have two weird weeks to start. So my guess is we probably won't see them back on the practice field until Thursday. That'll probably be our first chance to see if anyone came out of this game with any injuries. You know, during the game, Quinyon left for a little bit. Chauncey missed a play, but they got out of it relatively healthy. But Thursday, when they have their first practice, that'll be our first chance to truly kind of see, what the injuries were. So, all right, let's get into the rewatch of the game. Before we do, though, really quickly, I wanted to give a special shout out to fans of Philly and just give one more thought on the Brazil thing. So, man, fans of Philly, look, you guys know we talk about them all the time. They did such an outstanding job with this trip. And I want to give a shout out to all the real ones that I met out there, all the pod listeners. It was just, honestly, the experience was amazing for so many reasons. Seeing the stadium, all those things, having my beautiful wife there. But outside of that, just meeting all you guys and the people that were on the trip, I got to give a special shout out to a bunch of people like Sketch, his wife Chris, Bobby and his dad were there, Keith and Audrey, Jarrell, Justin and Tori had an awesome time meeting you guys. Naomi, the sneakerhead that I met in the line at Sao Paulo Airport. A guy from North Carolina who, and James will laugh about this, I don't think he gave me his name. If he did, I apologize, but had a really good conversation and a hypothetical that I'm going to be asking on a pod with James. So just again, from the bottom of my heart and to all you listeners as well, thank you guys so much for everything. It was a truly awesome time. Fans of Philly really, really does do it the best. And me and James will be doing a Fans of Philly trip together later this season, much like we did last year in Dallas. We're going to do a trip later this season, which we hope to have the details out maybe this week. Who knows? Now that Brazil's over, we can focus on that a little more. So with that being said, and thank you again to fans of Philly. That was awesome. Let's talk about this game. So I'm going to start with where I don't normally start. I'm going to start on the defensive side of the ball, because I thought leaving the rewatch, I thought the defense was even better than I thought, and I thought there was a lot of really encouraging individual performances. Now, wasn't all good. Let's start with what was probably my biggest takeaway on the rewatch. I don't know how much longer they can keep Avante Maddox at nickel. I think they'll probably try it on Monday against the Falcons if Isaiah Rodgers still can't go. But man, the Packers went right after Avante Maddox from the jump and did it all game, and he couldn't stop him. He couldn't. Like, let's be real. Now, Jaden Reed is a very good receiver. That's a really tough matchup for any nickel corner. Avante has been playing safety most of camp, so, you know, there are some things there. But he was bad enough that I think when Isaiah Rodgers comes back, you probably do have to put Quinyon in the inside. I mean, the Packers just went after him time after time again. And it really was kind of the weak point of their defense, to be honest. Like, the pass rush wasn't great, but Quinyon played well, Slade played well, Reed played well, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, we'll get into in a minute, still had some nice plays. Like, Avante was the one that really, really struggled. So, rewatching it, it was clear the Packers decided to go after him. They were able to go after him. And there really wasn't much the Eagles could do to kind of help him. And he didn't improve as the game went on. So, Avante Maddox, definitely a big liability against the Packers. On a positive note, maybe we'll go like a negative positive here. Zach Bond, I knew watching it live, he was really good. And I will say, watching it live in the stadium, it was really hard to see replays. Like, there was sometimes a replay up on the screen, but not being able to use Twitter in the stadium because we're on the Wi-Fi, like, didn't get a chance to really fully process the whole game, I would say. Zach Bond was really, really good upon the rewatch. Like, man, that dude is so athletic compared to the other linebackers they have. The first call, it was a great call by, I'm sorry, the first sack that he got was a great call by Fangio. But Bond did an awesome job getting to Jordan Love, bringing him down. I mean, he came in like a blur across the screen from the end zone view, the all 22 tape. Like, he was really, really good. If he does kind of become that Joker type role in this defense, where sometimes he's dropping back, sometimes he's rushing, he's athletic enough to do it. And it was really, really impressive. So for all the talk about Devin White and N'Kobe Dean this past week, Zach Bond, like, might end up being their best linebacker by a somewhat wide margin. A negative, I spent a lot of snaps watching Bryce Huff specifically. Man, he did not have a good game. And when I say didn't have a good game, like, the pass rush overall was not great, but there were snaps where Josh Sweat, was in the backfield, but Jordan Love got rid of it quickly. Brandon Graham was in the backfield. Jalen Carter was in the backfield. Jordan Davis was in the backfield. Huff was the only guy that I didn't come away from a single play being like, oh, that was a really good play by him. Doesn't mean there weren't times he, won his matchup, but he had zero impact on the game. It's very concerning. Like, you have to wonder if he can do this for three snaps. Like, he wasn't good against the run. He wasn't good against the pass. And I'll also say, in terms of Howie and Fangio being on the same page, you have to wonder, like, Devin White, we'll see what happens, but he apparently lost the job in training camp. Bryce Huff didn't play a ton of snaps. Like, where was the communication here? Like, why are you signing Bryce Huff if he's then going to play fewer snaps than Brandon Graham in week one? That feels like a poor job of communicating between the coordinator and the GM on what they want in a player. So Bryce Huff did not come across well on the rewatch. Not a good game for him. Obviously, it's just the first game. We'll see what he can do in week two in Atlanta. I did say going into it, the Packers have decent tackles, not great tackles, but decent tackles. So it wasn't like he had an easy matchup and was unable to take advantage of it. He was just a complete non-factor in this game. And then rewatching it, like, specifically zoning in on him, he just didn't win many snaps. So concerning performance from Bryce Huff. A positive on the defense, I thought N'Kobe was awesome diagnosing plays. Like, there were so many plays where I would start the play specifically watching N'Kobe, and you can see that he knew right when the ball was snapped where he wanted to go. Like, he wasn't reacting so much as he was just going where he felt based off film study and what he was seeing the ball was going to go. And he was right a lot. Like, the interception he nearly had, he sniffed that out perfectly. He baited Jordan Love into the throw. You could tell he knew it was going that way, but he backed up a little or didn't fully go that way so that Jordan Love would throw it. He did everything but the catch. Like, that's it. Now, it was a big drop, and you have to make that catch because clearly it goes from the Eagles scoring 7 points to then the Packers scoring, so it's a 14-point swing, and if he's going to be out there every snap, like, you have to make those plays. But it was an awesome diagnosis of the play pre-snap. On the second drive, there was a 3rd-and-1 play where he gets into the backfield so quick, blows up the run, keeps them into fourth down, or forces them into fourth down. I thought there were some plays that we used not great in coverage. You can just see sometimes his physical limitations in zone coverage where, like, he's in the right place, but he's not tall enough. He doesn't have long enough arms to make a play. But I was very impressed with his football IQ watching it. You could just tell after the snap he knew where he wanted to go based off film study. All right, a negative here. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson did have some nice tackles. Like, on the rewatch, there were some nice tackles, and he was in on a lot of plays. But some of these missed tackles, man, like, again, the Jaden Reed one, that's a touchdown right there. He had another really bad miss on a running play where it could have been a negative play or a short gain, and it turns into a longer one. Like, if Chauncey's going to be the last line of defense, and he posted a video on Instagram saying how hard it is, and I agree, it is really hard to bring Jaden Reed down in the open field, 100%. But if you're going to be a top 10 safety in the league, like, you have to make that play, or you at least have to slow him down and allow other people have a chance to get him. Like, on that missed tackle, he flies in and he barely even impacts him at all. Like, Jaden Reed is pretty much able just to keep going. So really bad snap from Chauncey. He's going to have to be a better tackler this year if he's going to continue to be their every down deep safety. It just is what it is. Josh Sweat, I thought, unlike Bryce Huff, I thought he came across better on the rewatch than I thought live. He did get into the backfield quite a bit. He was around Jordan Love. Jordan Love did get rid of the ball quickly, but I thought Josh Sweat won his matchup more consistently than Bryce Huff won his. I thought Josh Sweat, like, impacted the passer in the way that Jordan Love felt he had to get rid of it quickly. The Jaden Reed running touchdown, that was kind of on everybody. Like, you watch it, everybody got blocked up. Nobody won their blocks. Zach Bond missed a tackle. Nakobe didn't really miss a tackle, but he got in, and I thought he could have potentially brought him down, and he didn't. But that Jaden Reed touchdown was just a disaster for everybody on that play. And obviously, didn't work out great with the touchdown. And that is one thing with the defense, too. Rewatching it, I felt they got beat in certain plays, but there weren't many drives where the Packers consistently made them look bad. Like, again, they kept them in the game early. There was big chunk plays, which can't happen, but that's different than every defensive snap looking unprepared. I thought the Packers beat them on a few plays, but the Eagles defense won, you know, quite a bit against that really good Packers offense. Two guys that I thought really shined upon the rewatch, Milton Williams had a really nice play on the two-point conversion to stop it, which ended up being a huge play in what was a close game late. And just there were a few plays where he really stood out to me. I thought he had a really good game. Moro Ojama, like, awesome game, I thought, and had a pressure on Love on a crucial play. So it was the series after Jalen Hurts threw the interception to AJ. It was third down in the red zone. Like, this was going to be the difference between a field goal and potentially a touchdown. And he gets pressure on Jordan Love, impacts the throw. It's fourth down. They have to kick the field goal, which, and I believe the Eagles were up 5 at that point, if I'm not mistaken. So the Packers, instead of scoring a touchdown, potentially being up, they kick a field goal, which puts the Eagles only up 2, but still they have the lead. So awesome play by Moro Ojama. I thought it was a really, really nice pass rush in a really big spot. Jordan Davis. So first play of the game, he shoots into the backfield. He slows down the runner, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, wow, like, I've seen some people say he had a great game. Like, I didn't notice live as much, but I'm excited to see this because it seems like he's starting off at a really good point here. I didn't think he really stood out the rest of the game. I thought, you know, there were certain plays where I was like, okay, that was a nice snap, but I thought his first play was his best play, and then outside of that, somewhat inconsistent. So not a great game overall, I don't think, at least from Jordan Davis. So, you know, we talked about Quinyon a lot. I can't possibly wrap up this part of the defense without bringing up Quinyon again. I mean, that dude, like, the man coverage down the field on Christian Watson was just so impressive for a rookie in his first game. Just such an awesome, awesome snap. Nick Sirianni said after the game that no moment's too big for Quinyon. Not only did the moment not look too big for him, it looked like he was having, like, fun out there, like, confident in people's face. Like, it was really, really impressive for Quinyon, and that came across on the rewatch as well. The other thing on the rewatch, Nick Sirianni, clearly very much the same guy on the sideline, like, basically sprinting down the sideline after touchdowns, yelling at the referee. I'm happy that's how he is. I don't think he should change, but it was very clear on the rewatch. Nick is still an emotional guy. All right, let's talk about the offense. So first one, the Cam Jurgens snapping thing is something that absolutely has to be fixed. And I will say, we got a real one that watched Cam Jurgens in college a lot and said the inconsistent snapping was an issue for him there. So it's not promising to me, and it is concerning that in his first full game at center, the one fumble, Jalen clearly wasn't looking for the ball. Now, whether that's on Jalen or Cam Jurgens, I don't know. That's something I could ask him. Didn't get a chance to ask him in Brazil. But that's a bad snap. Like, that's a miscommunication there. And then the tush push, or, you know, quarterback sneak fumble at the end, that's on Jurgens too. That's just a bad snap. So Jurgens, I thought, played well. Other than that, he is really good getting out and pulling. He had a really good game against the run. I didn't notice many plays where he let up pressure, but the snaps is, I mean, that's enough to lose you the job. Like, if he has two bad snaps every three games, that's a high percentage. You're going to lose a lot of those fumbles. So that was really concerning, I thought, watching Cam. I noticed a few really encouraging and positive things from Kellen Moore. So the game starts off horrendously, with the interception and the fumble. In the next few plays after that, you could tell Kellen Moore called some nice, easy throws for Jalen. Stuff to the sideline, Goddard, quick outs, like a quick one to AJ across the middle, which they must have ran 50,000 times in training camp. I thought it was some good veteran play calling from Kellen Moore. Like, the offense wasn't doing well. I don't know if Jalen was shaken, but after two turnovers on the first two series, you could certainly understand if he wasn't feeling great. And it kind of got him in a rhythm, and it got the offense going. So that's what you get from 5 or 6 years of play calling experience, that he knew he needed to get his quarterback to settle down. And that really came across in some of the plays they called after those first two drives. The other thing I noticed with the offense, obviously a ton of motion. We've talked about that. They had bunch formations. They had that. It did seem like they tried to move the pocket a little for Jalen. Like, there were a lot of plays where Jalen kind of rolled out, and the pocket wasn't just a traditional drop back pocket. And I do think that's because of Jalen's height. Like, I think he does have trouble seeing over the middle sometimes, especially when he's just standing in the pocket. But when they move him, I think he can see the field better. So I noticed they did that a little more than they did last year. They were definitely better against the blitz. I said that on the post-game pod. I said that on GoBird's radio when I called in. But watching it, you could tell that Jalen got rid of the ball quickly when he knew a blitz was coming. So, A, I think Jalen did a good job, or a better job, diagnosing the blitz, which is encouraging with how much we talked about that, but then getting rid of it quickly. So there were not many plays, honestly, where I rewatched it, and I felt this live, where it was like Jalen had no idea that blitz was coming. There was one play where he was sacked by Rashawn Gary, but that was Lane just let him go by him. There must have been some type of miscommunication. Now, Jalen didn't feel the pressure coming, which isn't great, but that wasn't a blitz. So overall, I thought it looked like they did a good job against the blitz on the rewatch. Watching the offensive line, so there's this stat going around that I've seen that Mekhi Becton didn't allow any sacks, hits, hurries. I disagree with that. Look, I certainly respect Pro Football Focus. I cite them all the time. But just me watching it, I saw at least two plays where Becton got beat to the point where it impacted Jalen. So I thought overall the offensive line, though, was good. Like, you know, it was a major concern of mine coming into the game and coming into the season. I left it feeling better. Now, the Cam Jurgens snapping thing, that is an issue. It's a different kind of issue than blocking. But, like, once Cam Jurgens successfully snapped the ball, I thought the offensive line was good. Landon was good. Mailata was good. Lane was good. I thought Cam was good. Again, I saw a few plays where Becton did allow pressure. But overall, if you would have told me they got that performance out of the offensive line, I would have picked them to win. I didn't think they would play that well. So credit to them. They played better than I thought, and I thought it was encouraging. A few plays I noticed where they had two running backs on the field. One was Saquon and Shipley, which I really like. Like, putting them in the backfield and splitting one out wide, that can really be tough for the defense because both are really good receivers, especially Saquon. And I think Shipley will be, you know, once he gets more game action. But I really like the look of that. I thought it was very good. Two more things. So watching Saquon, man, like, I saw him in camp, but it's tough to watch running backs sometimes in camp just because you're ground level and you don't get to replay. But rewatching Saquon, it is wild how quick he is on his feet, considering how, you know, let's be real, like, big his legs are. He's got, like, massive thigh muscles. He is super quick. Like, he made some cuts that maybe don't stand out. It's not cutting on a dime. It's not making someone, but like, a cut at the line of scrimmage that gets him to a hole, he is so good at that. On the second touchdown, he made a cut that doesn't look like super crazy, but just made the touchdown and just gave him a wide open lane to run through. So I was very impressed watching the end zone view of the All-22 with the decisions he made. I didn't feel like there were obvious times where there was a hole and he didn't get to it. There were probably one or two, but I mean, with how many running plays, that's a high percentage of making the right decision. So was really impressed with him and was really impressed just with his vision and his ability to get to the open hole. Obviously, the catch was awesome for the touchdown, but just overall as a runner, I thought he was really good. Last, I don't think I gave it enough credit on the post-game pod with James. The 19-play, 7.5-minute drive, like, that could arguably have been the headline of the game. The fact they were able to do that with the Packers moving the ball, with Jalen struggling, and while we're going to talk about Jalen more specifically in a second, to hold the ball for 7 minutes and 25 seconds to close out a game, I mean, that's 2022 stuff. Like, that's exactly what the 2022 team did, and that's exactly what the 2023 team could not. The Jets game, the Seahawks game, the Patriots game, the Cardinals game. They had so many opportunities to close games out and burn clock late, and they weren't able to do it. And to go 19 plays is wild. Seven, I mean, that's half the quarter they held the ball in a most crucial part of the game. That is very, very impressive. And Jalen was awesome on that drive. So let's get to Jalen specifically now with the rewatch. So a few main things. One, I'll start with positives. The throw to Saquon for the touchdown is an elite throw. It is better than I thought live. It's better than like the first time I saw the replay. You watch the angles of it. That's a really tough throw. And what I will say about Jalen that I think hurts him sometimes but helped him in this instance, he throws such a catchable ball that it almost lofts. And on that play, it lofted perfectly into Saquon's hands. Great catch by Saquon for sure, keeping his feet in bounds. But when we talk about what is Jalen great at, like, that was an elite throw. It wasn't the 65-yard bomb that Anthony Richardson of the Colts threw on Sunday. Like, that's a different type of special throw. But that is a throw, I think, if you ask every quarterback in the NFL to make it, like backups, third stringers, not a high percentage make it. I thought it was like a special, this is why you pay that guy throw. So the touchdown to Saquon, way better the second time than I thought live. The touchdown to AJ, similar. Again, not a hard throw, but perfectly thrown. Like a throw that every quarterback would make, but I don't know if every quarterback makes it to the point where it's lofted in AJ's hands. It's very catchable. He throws such a soft ball that when he puts it in the right place, the receiver is really able just to like keep going. And I thought that while AJ was the special one on that play, clearly, the throw allowed him to get that yak. So really, really nice throw there. The 7 minute drive, I mean, Jalen was awesome. He was really good. Like, didn't put the ball in harm's way. I thought he made smart decisions in the pocket. As a runner, there's been a lot of talk about him as a runner since this game. I just think we have to accept he's not a fast runner anymore. Jalen is a strong runner. Jalen is going to be barreling through people more than he is going to be, you know, making cuts like he did his rookie year. It's just not who he is anymore. I don't know if his body type changed, if he's thinking out there about, you know, not getting hit, but he is a strong runner at this point. He is not a quick runner. So, but on that drive, like, he had massive runs, which we talked about in the postgame pod, to extend the clock, to extend plays, to draw flags. Like, his legs were a major benefit on that drive. So he, you know, winning time, fourth quarter, he made the plays. And rewatching it, I do think a C-minus is a fair grade for him. That was probably, I probably came away thinking he played a little bit better than I did live, but mostly the same. So let's get into the bad with Jalen. He still is, in my opinion, doesn't do a great job making decisions in the pocket. Like, far too many times I was watching the end zone view, and to me it felt like the pocket was not collapsing and the pocket was still relatively clean, but he does this thing where he rolls out and the tackle's not expecting it, so the guy he's blocking just leaves and then he's able to get pressure on Jalen. So I thought there were a few times where he did that and it was not good. This was an issue last year. I didn't think his pocket presence was good against the Packers overall. I thought too many times he either stepped into pressure, caused pressure, rolled out when there wasn't pressure. He needs to get better at like trusting the pocket, but also stepping up into the pocket as opposed to rolling out. Because when he rolls out, it never seems to work out for him. The interceptions, I mean, they're just horrendous interceptions. These were the Xavier McKinney one. Like, Xavier McKinney did make a nice play. In rewatching that, I think what he was doing was, so if you look, I believe it's a Packers linebacker on Devontae going down the field. So I understand why he likes the matchup. But it's a bad throw. He lofts it, which again, like, I think why he throws a good deep ball is because he doesn't put a million miles on it. And very rarely does Jalen like really throw the ball. But in that instance, I think he lofts it and it gives McKinney time to get over and make the interception. So poor throw, I think, more than a poor decision. So a poorly executed play that Xavier McKinney took advantage of, but a really bad interception at that spot. The second interception, you watch it, and again, like, he doesn't put enough on it. He's throwing it across his body and lofts it. Now, I'll say, sitting there in Brazil, I thought AJ was so open that it was going to get there. So I don't completely blame him for not, like, rocketing it there. But he didn't put enough on it. Obviously, I believe it was Xavier Alexander, if I remember correctly. Sorry, I did not sleep last night on the plane to Brazil, but or from Brazil. But he just doesn't put enough on it, and it's intercepted relatively easily. I mean, just a horrendous play there. Like, the timing, the decision-making, the throw, like, throwing it across your body, just a really bad interception. The other near interception in the fourth quarter, I believe this was two plays before the AJ interception. Like, what? So he snaps the ball. There's bunch formation to the left. He's looking that side the whole time. And I don't know. I can't see his eyes, right? But the corner that's on Jahad Dotson is literally just sitting a yard from Dotson waiting for Jalen to throw it. Jalen throws it, the guy jumps it, and he's lucky he dropped it. Like, that's it. He's lucky he dropped it. He stared the guy down the whole time. He made it an easy, rather relatively soft throw, and the guy dropped it. Like, Jalen is lucky that was not a pick six. And rewatching the game as a whole, like, He had bad throws. The interceptions, he put the ball in harm's way too many times. So that certainly stood out. And then I didn't think he made great decisions on the RPO. So that there were a few times where he kept it, but he should have handed it off to Saquon. So I left the game. I would still give Jalen like a C minus. I gave him a C minus after the game. Probably came away a little better just because I probably didn't give him enough credit for that final drive, but not a great Jalen performance. So that's kind of all my random thoughts from rewatching the game. On the other side, after a quick word from our lovely sponsors, let's talk about what happened around the league the rest of the weekend after Eagles left Brazil, got home from Brazil with that win. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so big news in the NFL directly related to the Eagles. Dak Prescott gets paid. The Cowboys give him $240 million. A whopping $231 million of that fully guaranteed. That's more guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson got. Obviously, Watson, not a great game on Sunday. That is looking like one of the all-time bad moves by a team. The Eagles really dodged a bullet not making that trade. But Prescott gets $230 million guaranteed, highest paid ever for an NFL player. He goes out, plays pretty well. The Cowboys beat the Browns. So the Cowboys have a good opening day. They win that game convincingly. The Browns are in real trouble if Deshaun Watson plays like that. So I think the Packers are a better team than the Browns. The Browns have a better defense, but I think the Packers overall are a better team. So I think the Eagles probably still had the more quality win of the weekend for sure. But Dallas comes out, gets a win. Dak gets paid. But interesting note with the contract, I think is kind of worth bringing up. So now Jalen, you know, after a full year after signing his contract, he's now ninth in average per year, and he's seventh in guarantees. So while he should still be expected to play like a top 10 quarterback, he is no longer paid like a top five quarterback. He's not the top paid quarterback in the NFL. He is not like a top three guy. He is kind of just a really well paid quarterback. And I think it's kind of important to note when we're assessing his play. Like, he still should be expected to be a top 10 guy, to potentially play like a top five guy. He has the weapons to be an MVP candidate. But his contract is not like the highest paid contract in the league anymore. He's now barely in the top 10. And I thought that was an interesting note after you know, how we talk about him and the pressure on him. The other news from the NFC East, the Giants, good God, man. Saquon leaving the Giants has to be the best decision he's ever made. You know, I don't want to say in his life because I don't like get onto his personal decisions. But just in terms of like a professional decision, it is, talk about going from the outhouse to the penthouse. He is going from one of the worst run teams in the league with a bad GM, a horrendous head coach. Brian Daboll made some decisions on fourth down that were embarrassing to make as a head coach, especially when you're losing, you're trying to make a statement. Just horrendous decision-making by Brian Daboll. Daniel Jones, 22 of 42, 186 yards, two touchdowns. Giants didn't even score two interceptions. Giants didn't even score a touchdown. Saquon now has three more touchdowns than the Giants do. Well, look, in theory, you know, Saquon will not finish the season with as many touchdowns as the Giants. There's a shot after week two he still is. It wouldn't shock me if he had two touchdowns next week, and the Giants certainly aren't getting five touchdowns next week. So Giants touchdowns versus Saquon touchdowns is going to be a fun thing to track. And if it's even close, that would certainly be very embarrassing for the Giants. But yeah, the Giants are a complete disaster. Brian Daboll will not be back next year. Daniel Jones will not be back next year. Their season's already cooked. They should seriously tank is what they should do. They don't have enough talent. I wouldn't trade Malik Nabers because hopefully you get a quarterback for him next year. But Malik Nabers will not be on the team in 3 years if they don't figure out the quarterback situation. You can already hear the frustration from him. So an ugly, ugly first day for New York. And then Washington, also didn't play well. They got blown out by Tampa Bay. They fell behind 13-0 quickly. They got it to 23-14, but honestly, it was never that close. They were down 37-14 pretty soon after. So not a good first showing for Washington. Maybe Tampa will be better than we think. I don't view them as a legit contender. I know they beat the Eagles last year, but who knows? Maybe they'll be one of those top five, top four teams in the NFC. Jaden Daniels, 88 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns. I think he had 186 yards passing. So I didn't get a chance to watch that full game, but sounds like he had a somewhat decent first performance for a rookie. So Washington loses, the Giants lose, the Cowboys win, the Eagles win. So kind of exactly what you expected from the division. So that'll wrap it up here for today's Go Birds Daily. Sorry it was a bit of a longer one, but I had a lot to say after rewatching that game. It's game week number 2 now. We can move on from the Packers, move on to the Falcons. Excited to, of course, do it all with you guys again this week. So thank you to everybody for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot M. James. I'll talk to you guys later.